Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I am your host, Cynthia Williamston, and happy Wedding Wednesday to you. It is always a pleasure to spend Wednesday nights with all of our listeners, and I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to get your messages and your encouragement throughout the week and throughout the month, letting us know how we are helping you. Now, tonight, I can honestly say, is a little bittersweet for me because this morning, a dear friend of mine passed away. So I want to dedicate this show to her. I want to dedicate this show to Mrs. Yvonne Warden, who always encouraged my entrepreneurial spirit, who always told me that I could do whatever it was I put my mind to. So this show is very fitting to dedicate to her, since this is going to be about entrepreneurship and launching while you're working. I also want to say happy birthday to my brother and one of my best friends, James Gaspard. Happy birthday to you, little brother. I miss you, love you. Can't wait to see you and harass you for your birthday because you're getting older. Of course, I love you much. But to our listeners tonight, if you do not know, March is Women's History Month. And in keeping with Women's History Month, we have been celebrating that all month long. The first 2 weeks of Women's History Month, we introduce you to the founder of Anointed Wives Ministry, Mrs. Felicia Houston, who told us what Anointed Wives Ministry was all about, how she is helping newlywed wives and existing wives become anointed wives. So if you missed any of those shows, feel free to listen to them. Not now, of course, because I don't want you to listen. I want you to listen to the night show. I don't want you to miss anything. But in your leisure time, or just, you know, if you're driving and you can listen through your phone, if you're home and you're doing a little something and you want to hear what we discussed during those shows, click on those links, which I will post in the event tonight, and take a listen. But tonight, it is my pleasure to have our guest, Ty Goodwin of Launch While You're Working On. I'm so lucky to have gotten her on the show because today was a very, very busy day for her. And she graciously agreed to come on tonight in keeping with our theme for women and Women's History Month. So I won't even continue to talk much longer about the introduction. But if you are a newlywed, if you're thinking of becoming a stay-at-home mom, if you want to start a business, this is the show for you. There's going to be tons of excellent information. If you're listening in on the internet but you would like to call in, please dial 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you would like to have a comment or question, or if you just want to listen in, that's great too. So without further ado, please welcome to our show Ms. Ty Goodwin. Hey, Ty.
Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, thank you so much.
You are welcome. You're welcome. It's such a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, I am so honored to be a guest on your show tonight, and I am so sorry for the loss of your friend that you mentioned earlier.
Thank you. Thank you. It was kind of jarring to hear this morning, but again, I just felt like in keeping with this show, she watched me grow up, and even when people told me that my thoughts and ideas were crazy about the businesses I wanted to start, she was always there to encourage me, either in thought or encouragement, or even with her money. She would, you know, as a little kid, she said, "Here's $10, go start your lemonade stand." She was wonderful that way. So this is, thank you so much. It is my honor to dedicate this show to her. Wow. Okay. So, business coach and Launch While You're Working advocate, Ty Goodwin.
Mm-hmm. Launch While Working advocate. Yep, and the site is launchwhileworking.com, and it's got mm-hmm. all kinds of great resources and information for people who are like me. You know, I had a full time job, and mm-hmm. I had a dream of launching a business, and I didn't want to sacrifice that dream. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't find a community, and so I created one for me.
Exactly. And I will be putting that link in the event as well for everyone to visit. And please go and visit her page. I'm going to try to get that link in there so that you can visit her page and support her, because she's willing to answer questions. She's She's very helpful to all of us, and you really don't want to miss out on this phenomenal woman. But let's get started. Why don't you tell us where you're from and what inspired you to start Launch While Working?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia, but right now I am living in the wonderful, wonderfully cold Minnesota.
Okay, I want to know how that happened.
You know, well, one of the things that I help coach my clients do is that, you know, sometimes you have to be willing to make some bold moves in order to pursue your passion. And moving from Philadelphia to Minnesota without knowing anyone was a bold move I was willing to make so I could pursue my passion.
Ty?
Yes?
Ty, I still see your number, so I know you're definitely there, but we cannot.
I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Okay. I guess that was technical difficulties on my end because Blog Talk Radio just said to me that, you know, they just apologized for interrupting the show. I'm so sorry about that. I thought that we were having trouble on your end, but it is clearly my end.
No worries.
Wow, that's every week is something a little new and strange that happens. But you were saying, I'm sorry about that.
No worries. It's technology. We live with it.
You were saying, so you made a bold move to Minnesota.
I did. I made a bold move to Minnesota. It's been one of the best moves that I ever made. And sometimes you have to make those bold moves so that you can pursue your passion. And that's what I did.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, your company, Launch While Working, is to help any entrepreneur who's interested in starting their own business while maintaining, you know, their regular job. Many people would say that's risky, starting a business, especially in this economy. Why are you such an advocate of people starting their own business?
Well, I'll take a step back because I think I missed the answer. I missed part of the answer to your other question about why I started, and I mentioned a little bit at the beginning, you know, that I knew, you know, corporate America was not going to be where I ended up, you know, career-wise. I really wanted to start my own business, but at the time I was a single parent. And, you know, I really couldn't just leave my day job to go start a business. And so I decided I was going to launch while I was working. Now, the time that I did get away to go to networking events, I got kind of snubbed by some people. You know, I got people that were saying, well, you're not a real entrepreneur because you still have a day job and, you know, that just doesn't make sense. And, you know, you know, you're just not doing it right, you know.
They said that.
And then these were women, too. Right?
Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
And so, you know, I decided to do some research. And lo and behold, I found a number of people who launched while working. And I'll give you a couple of my favorite examples. So most of my friends watch Shark Tank on Friday because we're all, you know, interested in, you know, business, building our business, and we watch Shark Tank and that kind of stuff.
Love that.
Damon John on Shark Tank, who started FUBU, he launched FUBU while he was working at Red Lobster.
Wow.
And he would come home at night, he would sew clothes at his kitchen table with his mom taking a mortgage out on their house. You know, so he's one of my favorite employedpreneurs. And another one, and this is one of my absolute favorites, is Sarah Blakely. So, ladies, I'm sure most of us know what Spanx are.
Yes.
Sarah Blakely is the founder of Spanx, and she started that company while she had a day job in sales, and she is now one of Forbes. I think she's their youngest self-made billionaire with a B. So, you know, I did some research, and I kept finding all these fantastic people who launched while working, and I couldn't find a community. And there's some that have popped up since then, but at the time, I couldn't find a space for people that were like me, and so I decided to create one.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you did. because it is a very helpful. I can honestly say that I've been to the site, I've been to the Facebook page, and she gives very helpful tips on things to do, what not to do, what to focus on, how to get yourself very focused, or at least prepared to become an employeepreneur. And I guess we could go ahead and move into the second question about, you know, starting. It's risky starting a business in this type of economy. You know, why do you support to advocate for people to start their own businesses right now?
Well, you know, you just take a look at the economy and the labor force right now, and you tell me how risky it is to have a day job.
Yeah, this is true.
Right? So, you know, there's a lot of risk in that. You never know what's going to come down the pike. You know, there is no such thing as job security.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my husband, you know, God bless him, he works for the IRS. And you would think, well, that's a stable job. But, you know, recently they've been going through ups and downs and being concerned about furloughs where they were going to be, you know, not working. Mm-hmm. So even at those kinds of jobs, it can be risky,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a bigger risk, people, especially women, when you don't pursue your passion and your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
There's a proverb that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that one of the reasons why a lot of women, you know, we get sick emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, is because we try to stuff those dreams and that purpose and that passion down. And it begins to wear on us, you know.
Mm.
And so even though, yes, it is a risk, but like I said, having a day job in this economy and in this labor market is a risk. And when you take a look at companies that started during, you know, economic downturns, some more examples, you've got Apple, you've got GE, you
yes.
know, all those companies, CNN, those companies were started when there was an economic downturn, and they're thriving today.
Right, right. It's so true, because nobody has, like, the 30-year job anymore. No one is on the job for more than 10 or 20 years. They're not retiring from one job. So
mm-hmm.
I agree with you that it's prime time that we actually get involved in starting our own businesses and creating legacies for our families.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. That's important, too. You know, I have a daughter, and, you know, one of the things that I wanted to help her understand is that, you know, job is not a four-letter word. Now, you know, I know it's not literally a four-letter word, but, you know, I used to be a classroom teacher, and I thought it was so demotivating to have those kids in a class and, you know, parents and everybody saying, you need to go to school, you need to go to college. But what they see in their parents are people who went to school, who went to college, and hate their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come home every day depressed and aggravated and dreading Monday morning, but yet we're telling our kids, go to school, go to college, so you can get a job and be just like me.
You can be miserable just like me.
Exactly. I think, you know, there got to be some better role models out there. You know, and I'll tell you another thing about launching my working. I had planned to leave my job at the end of 2012. That was my original target.
Mm-hmm.
In July of last year, they came to me and they told me they wanted me to relocate to Massachusetts.
Mm.
Now, I was not picking up my life. I had just gotten married in June. There was no way I was picking up my life. Thank you. there was no way I was picking up my life in moving to Massachusetts. And so I said, gladly, I will take your severance offer and we will part ways amicably. But
wow.
There was another person on my team,
mm-hmm.
and she had two young kids who were under the age of four, mm-hmm. and a husband, and she didn't have a launch while working plan. So she was so worried about what she was going to do. You know, she was thinking about splitting her household and moving to Massachusetts with her youngest kid. And, I mean, she was just making all kinds of, you know, decisions, anything she could to keep that job because she didn't have a backup plan.
Wow. So, you know, I like where you're going with this, because just knowing that you can encourage someone to at least start to launch while you're working, just in case something does happen, and you have an option. It gives you an option of maintaining your current life where you are.
Absolutely. And you know what, Cynthia, it's not new, you know,
mm-hmm.
the idea of launching while working. Now, you might have had this in your home. So I guarantee you had somebody in your family or in your neighborhood
mm-hmm.
that did taxes, that catered events on the mm-hmm. weekends, that baked cakes or sewed clothes or did mm-hmm. hair. or fix cars on the lawn somewhere, right?
No, you're right. You're right. My dad was a chef, and so he also baked cakes at home, you know, and not that it would uproot us or make us move, but he did it for the love, you know, for the passion.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you're right, you know.
Yeah, well, that's my dad, too. You know, I remember every Thanksgiving he would be making a boatload of sweet potato pies for people and, you know, earn extra money to put in that Christmas fund, right?
Right,
and so
right.
It's always been around, but what people are doing now is they're putting more effort into making it a legitimate business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that side hustle, but you've got people that are taking those part-time ideas. They have business plans, they have expansion plans, and they have exit strategies that are going to help them go from employee to entrepreneur.
Now, I know where we're going with these questions, but I am going to say I'm going to need you to explain what expansion plans are and what exit strategies are, because they are really important. And sometimes, even in school, in certain schools, they'll teach you about creating a business plan, but they rarely expand on expansion plans and exit strategies.
Oh, well, great. Thank you for asking that. So you talked about, you know, the woman in your life and earlier giving you money for your lemonade stand, right? So let's say, you know, you could start a lemonade stand today, and that might work in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to expand that and do it all year round, you might start looking at ways to have a mobile lemonade truck, right? Well, so now you can deliver that same little glass of sunshine to people all year round. You know, even when it's cold outside, they could come get some cold lemonade. And then you might expand that and say, well, you know, in the wintertime, we want to sell hot tea.
Right.
And so that's a business that you can expand. And it's not just going to be, well, I can only do it 1 month, you know, or people that get into, and I'm not against direct sales businesses, because I think some of them, if you get into the right one, they teach you some really good skills about selling, and they can build your confidence. But sometimes those business models aren't expandable.
Mm-hmm.
Because after you kind of saturate your network of people, where else can you go? You know, so you need to think about how can this business expand? And then from there, it's an exit strategy. So, you know, most people, now there are some that have done this, but most people don't have the luxury of waking up Tuesday and saying, hey, I'm going to quit my job on Wednesday.
Right.
Right? So you have to have an exit strategy. And part of that is figuring out what do you need to learn? You know, what can you learn from your day job? If you don't know anything about marketing and your company has a marketing department, it would be really smart to figure out how to get next to those people in marketing, or even is there a way for you to transfer into the marketing department so you can learn?
Right? I like that.
And so, people don't think about all those kind of things that they can use as leverage for staying in their day job. It not just helps you fund your passion, but you can learn. You can start to network. You can, you know, just really build up your own experience and expertise in an area while you have your day job.
Right.
And that's part of putting together an exit strategy that works for you.
And that way you can just transfer the skills right over to your own business. And no, that's excellent. Thank you for explaining that. And I'm sure that you're going to have a book that explains that. We're going to talk about your book later on that you're currently writing. It's not out yet, but you are currently writing a book, which excites me. So we'll talk about that later. if we're bold enough to start a business, where should the person start? Where would one start to get information, or what do we do?
Well, I'm going to tell you first what you shouldn't do.
Oh, okay. Let me get my
Because here's what people do. They say, "How am I going to start a business?" And they will go out and get business cards made up, and they will get a business website, and you know they will start looking at all the things that make them look like they have a business. And I say, slow your roll. Hold up. And take a few steps back. You know, just because you love to do something and just because the people in your family say it's a good idea, that doesn't mean you have a viable business idea. And, you know, I know that might hurt some people's feelings, but I'm going to be very honest, you know, about that. I see too many people who are just super, super passionate. And you have to have a balance between passion and profitability. So just because you love it doesn't mean that you can actually find people who are willing to pay you for it.
You know what? I guess it is a good thing to find out whether or not somebody is willing to pay for what you do.
Yeah, and then even you have to think about, do you like it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing for you to do the job for your boss. It's another thing for you to have to do the job and wear the hat of marketer, salesperson, follow-up, admin, right, and do all of those things that are required of actually being in business, plus the business that you want to run. And until you get enough capital, you're going to have to wear all those different hats, right? And so you really, what I tell, you know, clients is try it before you buy it. So, you know, you can go out and say, well, I'm going to be, you know, well, I'll use myself an example, and I'm always very transparent with my clients. So when I first started coaching, I was the career makeover coach. And I built up a pretty good reputation as the career makeover coach. But you know what? I absolutely hated writing resumes for people.
Mm,
you know?
Okay.
I like the fun part of, you know, let me help you uncover your passion. Let me, you know, help you figure out all the different ideas and directions you could go. Let's figure out which idea you want to choose and make a plan.
Mm.
I love that part.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept getting people that said, well, that yeah, I like that, but I need a resume. I need a resume right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Well, that's part of the makeover process. You know, you have to realign and, you know, re-envision yourself on paper. But I didn't like that. And if I had tried it out enough times before I decided to brand myself that way, it would have been a much better experience. So that was a lesson learned the hard way that I can now share with clients that you want to try it. Do you really like doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really like working with those people all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Do you even know who you don't like to work with?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All of those questions are super important when you're ready to make a commitment, especially if you're married, right? If you're married and you've got a family and you say you want to make this commitment, but you're changing your commitment every 3 weeks, that would drive your husband crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of risky. You know, you're messing with a lot of different things, including your income. You don't want to waste any income going through those kinds of changes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said something interesting that I'd like to backtrack on, which is you said you wish that you had known that before you branded yourself that way.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the importance of branding yourself, you know, of course, figuring out whether or not you like it and then branding yourself to do that thing that your passion.
Oh, well, you know, in these days with online technology, which is, you know, the best friend to someone who's launching while working, online technology is awesome and allows you to create these fantastic brands and use tools like social media and blogging and online networking to really get the word out about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I caution people, do not brand until you're ready. Actually, on YouTube, I have a video out there under Launch Talk, and the video is called F branding, and the F is not what people would think. It's forget branding. So I want to be clear about that.
it's the clean version
brand,
of the CeeLo song.
Well, you know, it could be, you know, that's what I use to hook people, but my brand is not, I don't use a lot of four-letter words in my brand, so.
Right.
But it was really about telling people to forget branding until they get enough experience. Like I said, you don't want to have spent the $2,500 out there for a website and only to come to find out that you don't like it and that you want to change something.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are ready to brand, you know, you want to do your research. You want to figure out really what it is that, not just who you are. There's so many people out there, they just, or I want a name. I want to be, you know, the cookie queen. And if you're the cookie queen, I'm not talking about you. I'm just as an example, right? But, you know, everybody wants a label and a name. But in branding, you really have to think about, what problem do you solve for your audience? How do you help them? Because it's not all about you. You know, any business, the golden rule is, you know, the customer, you know, you have to serve the customer. You have to give your customer what they want and what they need. You know, you have to provide value to them, and that includes your branding and the experience that you create for them online. So whether it's your blog, your business card, whether it's your phone call, all of that is part of your brand, and it's not necessarily about how you want to be perceived. That's a bit of it. It's more so about what you want your customers and clients to experience.
Nice. Nice. I think that is an important point for all of us to think about when we are starting our business, or sometimes the business is already started. It doesn't hurt to rethink, you know, to kind of revisit that thought to make sure that you're staying on track.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what a business plan is for. You know, your business plan isn't something that you leave on the shelf and you never touch.
Mm-hmm.
Your business plan is a fluid document that is a roadmap, and it needs to turn with you. You know, you have your business plan, you have your projections, your numbers, your vision and your mission. You know, your vision and your mission may not change, but how you get there may change. You don't know what's going to come, you know, into the market, or, you know, something might happen in the economy or in your industry that might cause you to shift. And your business plan needs to reflect that,
right?
So your business plan is that fluid document that you keep on tap, and you keep it updated as you go.
Well, in everything that you're doing with your coaching, are you finding that people are not using their business plan? Is that a mistake that people are making?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's an oversight. You know, there are people that say, well, I've got it all in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's really great. However, until you see it on paper, you're probably missing some questions. You know, so I have a client that will say, well, I want to start my business in the next 3 months, and I want it to be profitable at the end of month three. And I say, well, what do your numbers look like? And they scratch their head. Well, I want to make $15,000 a month. Well, where are you going to get that $15,000 from?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to talk to people. How many people do you need to talk to? And, you know, it might seem like, well, how can you figure that out? But those are the kinds of calculations that you need to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you talk to 10 people and only one out of every 10 people mm-hmm. buys your product, but you need to sell 100 products a month to
mm-hmm.
clear your revenue,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of people you need to talk to get to those 100 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But if you're not thinking about those numbers, and that's what that business plan, putting those numbers down on paper, helps you see that, you know what, if only one person in 10 is going to buy this, I either need to raise my prices or I need to hire a sales team.
Right. But then hiring a sales team, sometimes when you're, you know, launching while working, is difficult because you don't have the funds, you don't have, you know, the money to pay them. What are some of the resources that you can use? I mean, other than yours, because I know that we're definitely going to direct them to yours. What are some of the resources that we are overlooking when it comes to creating a team that works for us?
Oh, that's a really great question. You know, and I think, you know, part of it is first putting a system in place for what you need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to add people to your team if you don't have a clear direction on where you're going and what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you, let's say, you know, you wanted a sales team, right? You wanted to hire some people, and you could hire people, you know, while you're working. You could have a part-time sales team or even a full-time sales team. That's all their job is to get you leads for your business. But you've got to have a script ready for them. You've got to have your pricing model done. You've got to have all of your marketing materials. You've got to have all of those kinds of things in place. And when you're looking for people, you know, one of the things that we do in LaunchWhileWorking.com,
mm-hmm.
Sorry, not LaunchWhileWorking.com, but our Facebook group for Launch While Working, is there are people that are sharing referrals back and forth there. So there are other people that are launching while working who may have some of the skills you need. So if you need a web designer, right, you can come into that group, and there may be somebody else who is a web designer. And one of the reasons I put that group together is because if you're launching while working,
mm-hmm.
you need people that can talk to you after 5 o'clock.
Exactly.
Right?
I was going to say, why don't we discuss some of the things that affect employpreneurs mm-hmm. more than, you know, more than the average entrepreneur?
But absolutely.
We're going to get to that, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that's a resource. You know, you can still find people out there on, like, Odesk is a tool, Elance is a tool that's out there, and these are things that you look for as, you know, as far as outsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
You could partner with people. One of the guys that I interviewed for one of the books that I have coming up, he was launching while he was working. He was the only one on his team. He was the co-founder of the company, but he was the only one on his team that still had a day job. The other guys on his team, I think they were out there, you know, full time. And, you know, he left his day job, and a year later, he sold his company to Google.
Wow.
So, you know, he's a great example because he had an IT job at, you know, Network Solutions at a really, you know, top company. And, you know, he had everything worked out. He had the support of, you know, his company. He had the support at home. And, you know, he was out there leveraging social media. That's how I met him on Twitter, you know. And, you know, he was very gracious, you know, helping me, you know, do some things when I was launching while working. And to see him have that kind of success, I thought was just such a great story and a great testament to people being able to actually launch while working.
Nice. Now, you mentioned group. Is there a difference between your group and your fan page or – are we talking about the same thing?
No, though, there are two different things. And, you know, the page, that's where I put a lot of articles out there and, you know, share things that I find, and that's just kind of like general consumption. Mm-hmm. We have a private Facebook group, and I keep it private because people don't want everybody knowing that they're launching while working. I get that,
especially if you've got
your coworkers out there. Mm-hmm. And I also keep it private because I check the people that come into the group. So I don't let spammers in. I don't let people in who, you know, are just going to come in and just want to post their events. And a matter of fact, we only have one day for promotions, and that's, we call it Promote and Prosper Fridays. And, you know, you get to share your events and everything, your deals, anything you want to offer if you're doing a class. But the rest of the week, you know, people are asking questions. People are sharing their elevator pitch and getting feedback. People are saying, hey, check out my, you know, site. You know, does this look okay? Do you have a referral for X, Y, and Z? How do you do this? Do you have a resource? There's genuine conversation and connection that people are doing business with each other. So this is a real Facebook community that, you know, it's up to about 350 people that have joined the community right now.
Wonderful. That's very encouraging. Now, my next question is, you know, I've been on your website. I'm looking at your Facebook page now. You have something up called the 15-15 Challenge.
Yes.
15 things you can do in 15 minutes or less to build your business. Now, I would love to know what I could do in 15 minutes or less because I tend to come home, you know, after work, and when I look up, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, so I'm like, what 15 things am I going to do in 15 minutes or less? This is going to be an interesting list, and I'm glad we're recording because my pen would not stop moving.
Well, you know, the 15-15 challenge is a really fun project, and we're actually on day 13. We've got two more days left. And it has been exciting. So over 150 people signed up for this challenge. And there's a group on Facebook for the 15-15 challenge, too. And that's got about 50 people who are in Facebook, and they're sharing. But, you know, there are so many things that you can do in 15 minutes or less that you don't think about. And I won't give you all of them, you know, because one of the things that we're doing, I'm taking with this, and this is the first place I'm going to announce this, but every day there was an email that went out with a challenge. And I'm really smart about repurposing my content. So all of those emails that went to that group are going to be placed and made into a little ebook.
You heard it here first, folks. She's making the ebook.
Right? So now I can make that a freebie giveaway. I can make it something I can sell on Amazon. But I've kind of tapped into this model, and I like it because I've gotten feedback from this group that have been participating in it. But one of the first things we did was I had the priority plan for the week, and you can do this in 15 minutes or less. And the priority plan, it had you think about your gratitude. Like, you know, always starting with gratitude, you know, what were you going to be grateful for the week? It had you think about, okay, what kind of leads do you need to generate for the week? What kind of connections do you need to make for the week? What do you need to do to be profitable this week? And it's just jotting those things down and making them a priority.
That's great.
And so that was one of the items. And another one that what people found really helpful, I gave them a template they could use, and they had to, well, the first thing they had to do on one, I think it was like day two or three, they had to write down 5 people that they could ask for a referral. They had to write down 5 places they could leave their business card.
That's excellent.
And and they had to write down five past clients or five people they wanted to connect with. And so one of the next days, their task was to take those business cards and go to those places. One of the other days, it was to use a template and ask for a referral. You got a template, you wrote down the names, just send emails and asking for a referral. But it takes you less than 15 minutes,
right
to do it. And you can, and people were getting referrals, people were getting testimonials. I mean, people in the group were getting, you know, speaking engagements. I mean, it was awesome to see the results they were getting just because of the energy and effort they were putting out there. We had 15 days of things to do and 15 minutes or less, and it's really powerful for lots of people.
Right, and I can actually really relate to that because I get a lot done on the way when I'm on the bus or when I'm on the train. You know, headed to work, I actually, you know, I'll make a list here or I'll make a collage of some pictures that I really like. So I really do agree with you. You're absolutely right. You can really get a lot done in 15 minutes that you can use later on that, you know, that makes things seamless for you because I can just upload the pictures later on.
Exactly. Now you get it.
I like it. Okay. You said that one of the mistakes that people make is not really investigating and being sure about what they want to do before they're branding themselves. What are some other common mistakes that we make as employedpreneurs?
Oh, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but one of the huge mistakes is not valuing what your day job gives you.
Right. You did say that to make sure you're talking to, you know, you're making the connections. Go on.
Yeah. You know, I understand wholeheartedly what it's like when you hate your job. You know, even when other people will tell you, oh, you've got a good job. You know, you've got a good six-figure job. Why would you be miserable? And I understand what that feels like when people are telling you that and how horrible it feels because you start to feel guilty, right? You know, part of it is, you know, be grateful for what you have. Yes, you know, that's a good response to have to that. But also be honest about what you really want and what you're called for. You know, don't try to tough it out because you don't want to disappoint other people. One of the core values that, you know, I live by and that I coach my clients through and even that I'm trying to instill in my daughter is not to limit yourself by other people's expectations.
Right. I like that.
And you're going to find that even when you start to step out in your business that other people will tell you, well, you can't do it or do it this way or I did it this way, so you have to. And do not settle for other people's limitations on what you can accomplish and how you want to accomplish it. Role models are great. Mm-hmm. It is fantastic to learn from people. And then there are some things you have to grow through and experience on your own journey in order for you to really get the reward of becoming who you are meant to become.
I like that because I can honestly say that I do see a lot of people trying to fit into someone else's expectations of what they should be doing, or they want to pattern themselves after someone else's success and think that they're going to achieve the same thing instead of actually trying to either, you know, surpass it or do better.
Well, you know, I've said this so many times. My brother has a song, and one of the lines in his song is that everybody wants to be, but nobody wants to become. And I look at this with Oprah. Everybody wants to be Oprah, but do you really want to go the journey that she went through? You know, I just imagine, and, you know, even, you know, listen to her story, you know, the doubts that she had to, you know, overcome, the label that she had to overcome, you know, other people's expectations and limitations, right? All those things that she had to work through to get to where she is. So when you look at those people, is it that you want to have what they have? And that's fine. But you need to be willing to do the work that they did to get there.
Yeah, that's a toughie because, and I'm so glad that a lot of people are, we're living in an age where a lot of people are actually telling their story, and your platform is another platform that we're using to tell our stories and you know, and hear what people are going through so that you can kind of either be encouraged to move forward with your dream or encouraged to say, you know what, maybe it's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you come across people who actually decide not to continue being an employpreneur?
You know what, it's interesting. I've run into people that are disciplined wishers. You know, and they wish every day really, really hard that they could start their own business.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll start and they'll stop, they'll start and they'll stop. You know, they'll do something for a little bit and then they'll, oh, well, it didn't work. Well, what did you do? Well, I sent flyers out. How many times did you send flyers out? Well, I sent one flyer out. Well, okay. And then they give up, right? Because
right.
they didn't get a result. So, you know, I run into those types of people who start and they stop, or they start and then they start something else and they start mm-hmm. something else. And I actually talked to one person and, you know, she said, well, I had this idea for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, how sad, you know, to spend 7 years with a vision and dream inside you and never give birth to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I find in those cases are that, the question I asked her was, who's waiting for you to deliver on that vision?
Mm-hmm.
Because what I find is that what motivates people that are in that stop, start mode is they have to stop thinking about it as just their vision. And when they get a vision of who they get to serve and who they get to impact, that's when they get the inspiration to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just about me. You know, if it was just about me, I would have stopped, you know, at helping people with resumes because I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Right? It was never just about me. The larger vision was, wow, you know, if I can help people birth their vision, look at the impact they're going to have on the world. And when you start thinking about the other people that you get to serve, you can't go back. They're waiting for you to step up into your, you know, to use all your gifts and talents. They're waiting for you. So don't leave them hanging.
It's very true. I know, like, a friend of mine asked me, you know, when you started Bridal Tribe, do you ever think about stopping? And I tell her every single week. I said, you know, every single week, I feel like, you know what, I'm tired, you know, it's so much to do, or, you know, I didn't expect certain things. I didn't expect certain types of competition or even negative reactions to the positive things that I feel, you know, are positive that I'm doing. And it makes you just want to go, look, I could really just sit back, pay my, you know, pay my expenses, pay my bills, and, you know, and be really happy doing nothing. But just living the average life. But of course, you know, that's just a big lie. I realize, like 2 seconds out of my mouth, that it's a big lie. You know, because then someone will come up and tell you how the things that you think have driven you crazy and are not enough have made a huge impact on someone else.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when I think about what I would do if I could just continue, makes me really want to push forward. And you're right. I don't ever think that I'm doing this for me. It's really not about me. It's, you know, it's about what I'm leaving and, you know, who I'm encouraging and so on. So I really agree 100%, totally 100% with your point about having a vision of the people that you are serving in order to stay motivated in your, you know, in your chosen field.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Your calling is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. if this is what you were called, this is the gift and talent and vision that you were given. You know, it really is not an option. It's not it wasn't an arbitrary, you know, gift that was given to you. It was given for a purpose. And I think that the best thing is to be able to live that out and express that fully in how we serve other people. And when I say, let your light shine, you know, be brilliant.
I love it. I love it. I'm just going to take a moment again to tell our listeners, if you would like to join in the conversation, if you have a comment or a question, you can, of course, type it in on Facebook. I'm happy to relay the message to Ty. Or if you want to call in, the number is 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment. Or, as I said before, you could just listen in. Now, we've been listening to some wonderful tips from Ty Goodwin. She's just giving us nuggets of wisdom about being an employedpreneur. I can't wait to continue to use this word because I normally say entrepreneur, but employedpreneur makes a lot more sense for what most of us do. Now, we want to hear more about you because you're in business. You're a mom. You said you just got married, and I want to see pictures. I'm putting it out there. you just got married last year. How are you keeping it all together? And how was the transition for you? You know, because more than being an employeepreneur, I want to know about the transition into straight entrepreneur.
Oh, thank you for asking that. And you know, there are pictures out there on Facebook. So if you're friends, I think we are. You can round some great pictures that are out there. And you know, I was very, very fortunate to work from home for the last 4.5 years of my corporate life. Mm-hmm. And I chose that, you know, at one point I was going to leave, you know, that job, but they gave me the option to work from home. And so that was like a perfect way to situate my life and organize my life the way I wanted it. Part of my lifestyle has been that I wanted to be accessible to my daughter. And so she's really spoiled in the fact that she'll say, Mom, you're always on a computer. But she doesn't understand that she's never really seen me work outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
Because even when I started work, even when I went back to work with her, I worked from home, and then the company I worked for had an on-site Montessori school. So she went to work with me every day.
Wow.
And then when I started working from home, I was home every day. So that's been really important to be able to be there when she gets home from school, to put her on a bus in the morning. And so making the transition from, you know, physically was pretty easy. You know, that's a struggle for people, you know, because they don't have that camaraderie anymore. You know, they're used to going into the office and seeing a whole bunch of people. And that is quite a shift for a lot of people.
Right, right.
The discipline, I had to learn a lot of discipline to work from home, you know, mm-hmm. even for, you know, my day job. So that was an easier transition.
Mm-hmm.
What has been interesting, though, is now I'm desiring to connect with more people. And the shift in connecting with people who are entrepreneurs versus mm-hmm. people who have day jobs has been really interesting.
Mm.
Because the conversations are different.
Right, okay? Right.
The conversations with people that have day jobs, you know, I went to an event for a friend, and, you know, all the people were talking about they couldn't wait to retire, and they were counting down the years, and they were complaining about their job. And I compared that to the people that I talk to that are in business for themselves. They love what they do. You know, they're excited to go to work. They're talking about how they can get clients and ideas and connections, and it's such a different energy. And that was a big shift for me to be aware of,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I had to watch, you know, the conversations and things. And then I had to learn not to overdo it,
mm.
you know, because now that I'm full-time, it feels like all the time I can work on my business. And
right.
That means, you know, when you have a day job and then the 4 hours at night from 9 to 1 when you're working on your business.
Right.
So I can work from 9 o'clock in the morning to 1 o'clock in the morning on my business.
Right. So, you know, you're right. You do need some discipline. I can relate to what you're saying because I did a lot of freelancing when I was much younger. And one of the things that happened to me was I literally, because I can get very focused when I'm working, that I can forget everything around me. I literally forgot to eat for 2 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I wasn't listening to what my body was. I was just very focused on what I was doing. I would get up, drink mm-hmm. some juice, just work. And when I would look up, it was 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would just say, oh, my goodness, and, you know, drink some more juice and go to bed. And this went on mm-hmm. until my body nearly kind of, like, broke down and was like, yeah, hello, we got an issue with you, you know. my body let me know. So I understand completely what you mean by having a little bit of discipline, not even a little bit, but having to have to learn discipline as an entrepreneur, because you don't have someone to tell you, stop, go get lunch. This project mm-hmm. is due at this time. You know, you don't have someone that's checking it for you. You are the one that's maintaining.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And I think another big lesson for me was the value of partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have that. I didn't do that well when I was a part-time entrepreneur. And I'm learning to do that a lot better now. And so I've got joint venture partnerships, and I've got, you know, people that I'm working with. And I've learned to get people that have different skill sets than me.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the women that we've been working on a project, I guess, for maybe it's over a year and a half now, and it's about to launch later this year. And, you know, she's a financial planner.
Mm-hmm.
And so she brings all this expertise around numbers and payroll and, you know, managing budgets and skills that I don't necessarily want to add to my repertoire. You know?
I like,
and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful, you know, to her, you know, to come up with ideas and to think things through and to help with numbers. But I'm learning the value of partnerships with the right people and even upgrading my partnerships, right? So I can partner with people who have much more experience than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking for people to pull me up to the next level.
Absolutely.
I'm looking to learn from people, you know. And then I always have to have those people that I'm sowing into on the other side, because that's a big part of anything, is that you want to sow into other people.
Now, I want to ask you to expand on that, if you can. When you're talking about developing partnerships with people who are bringing different skill sets to the table, how do you develop that partnership? I mean, we don't have to talk about you as an example if you don't want to, but, you know, give me an example of a nice symbiotic relationship where it is about helping each other by using your skills.
Oh, well, you know, one of my favorite partnerships right now is with, you know, and it's really interesting. I just realized that both of these people that I'm partnering with are financial planners.
See, okay, you're giving me a picture of how much you really don't like numbers.
Well, you know what it is? You know, I'll be very honest. You know, that's one of my – I grew up in a – I told somebody this morning. I grew up in a dysfunctional money family, mm-hmm. right, where I didn't really understand and learn that. And so one of my intentions, especially as I made this transition, was that I wanted to be – financially healthy mm-hmm. and wealthy in my thinking. Mm-hmm. I need to say this. One of the top articles at LaunchWhileWorking.com, by the way, is an article I wrote called Five Reasons You're Still Living Paycheck to Paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what I find is that if you don't get that taken care of, that mindset that keeps you living paycheck to paycheck, you will be a broke entrepreneur or a struggling mm-hmm. entrepreneur. Because it doesn't change because you become your own boss.
Right.
And right. So I set that intention out there that, you know what, this is an area that I need to strengthen. And I love the way God answers, because this is an answer. I've got two people on both sides who are strong in that area. Mm-hmm. And this, you asked about this relationship. She's the author of a book called How to Be a Finance Rockstar. Mm-hmm. But she also has all these technical skills. And so we're putting a project together called the Content Creation Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
I get to teach people about the content. That's, you know, a specialty, product development, info product, and that kind of stuff. And she is the monetization piece. She teaches people how to monetize the content.
Okay.
And so I, you know, do a lot of the curriculum planning. She's the one that sets up streaming video for it. This is a live streaming video class. And so it's been a great collaboration for us to both be able to use our skills. And we both have that same kind of passion meets purpose meets prosperity.
Right.
Kind of, you know, that's our model, you know, that we work from. And so it's been a really great relationship to work this out with her.
Wow. Okay. So when you're developing a partnership with another entrepreneur, is the idea to work together on a brand new project, or is the idea to work together on each other's projects to help push them forward?
It can be both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a project that we came up with together, But it was also a project that I had kind of sitting in my space. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew I wanted to do this, and I had bought the domain name. And, you know, when I met her, it was something that she, you know, wanted to do. And we just decided to put those two things together. But I have other people that we cross-promote each other's products. So mm-hmm. when I've got something, you know, she shares it to her list. When she's got something, I share it to my list. Mm-hmm. So there's all different kinds of ways to develop partnerships with people.
I hope that you definitely make that one of your chapters in the free ebook, or that you actually teach a class on, you know, the process of developing partnerships and how you can go about that, because I think it's an interesting subject for employedpreneurs as well as entrepreneurs to really sit down and think about. I think that it gets overlooked a lot, mm-hmm. especially by individuals. I know I had to learn more about it, and I'm still learning about it, because I was one of those people that really just had to take care of everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that's not that's not new.
I never never did that. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Oh, no. I could tell you, especially when I started Bridal Tribe and the way everything was, if I booked a photographer and the photographer didn't show up, I taught myself how to take pictures so that I could be the photographer. And and if the makeup artist didn't show up, I did the makeup. And if, you know, the hairstylist didn't show up, I did the hair. So, and if nobody showed up, guess what? I did everything that day and then asked someone to teach me how to edit photos to make sure that I would get that done on time. So it hits a chord with me to know that it's a very important step to learn how to develop partnerships within, you know, the entrepreneurial, I want to say waters or the sea or, you know, or groups. Mm-hmm. So that you don't overwork yourself for many reasons. You know, you don't overwork yourself. You know, you develop better networking skills, and you expand your friendships.
Right. Absolutely. That is something that's important. And that will be a chapter in one of the books that I have coming up. You mentioned that, and I've got two, actually. And, you know, Launch While Working, that book is going to be the second book, but that will have, you know, chapters on partnership. Is where I go through all the 12 different steps to starting a business without quitting your day job. And I actually have a number of stories of people who actually launch while working that are giving their insights and their lessons learned from their own journey. But the first book that I'm doing, I write these things called Monday Morning Pep Talks. And they started with me when I would have anxiety attacks about, you know, going to a teaching job that I didn't like. And I had to encourage myself, as the old folks used to say.
don't get me to start singing those songs now. Come on.
And so, you know, what I've done is I've taken some of the best pep talks, you know, over the last 3 years, along with some new ones. And I even got some friends, some women who I admire and respect deeply, to contribute to this project. And there's a book of 52 pep talks. It's Monday Morning Pep Talks, A Powerful 52-Week Journey to More Purpose, Passion, and Prosperity. And so every week there's an inspirational message and an affirmation to help people get through their day jobs when they know they'd rather be launching their business full time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love it. That's going to be an excellent book for all of us to get into. But tell us about the other things. You said you have your Monday morning pep talks.
Mm-hmm.
And you said powerful 52-week journey to more purpose.
Yeah,
that one.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that.
Yeah, well, that's the subtitle of that book. So it's Monday Morning Pep Talks, It's the Powerful 52-Week Journey. Mm-hmm. That's the first book. And then I also have some classes. I'm a teacher at heart, and so I teach. You know, I talked about the content creation workshop that's coming up later. One of the classes that I'm starting in the next month is called the Getting Clients Crash Course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 6-week crash course where people can learn about the universal marketing cycle and what they need to do to get more clients in their business. Because that's one of the hardest things when you're launching or working, or even in any business, even if you're out there, you've just started, is how do you have a consistent stream of clients?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's really hard to leave your day job when you don't have any clients.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm so encouraged by this. You know, please keep us informed, or definitely keep us informed about this, so that I can at least make announcement as to when your classes are going to be. You know, if you're having anything special on your page, let me know, and let me tell my people so that I can send them right on over there to you, as well as join in. I don't want to act like I won't be there, because I will. I'm one of those front row and center kind of students. I was always in, you know, right in the front seat, the geek, and please put your hand down. You cannot answer every question, Cynthia, kind of student. So definitely keep us informed about all those things that you're doing, and while you're at it, please tell us all the different places that we can find you.
Well, I will, and you know what, I want to make this formal. So you have a formal invitation to come and be a guest on Launch Talk to tell your launch story.
Yay.
So let that be known that you'll be coming on. But that's one place they can find us. We have a blog talk radio show called Launch Talk. It airs every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Lots of good stuff there. LaunchBallWorking.com is the home base. Then you can find us on Facebook. Launch While Working is a group, and we have a fan page as well. And you know what? For those people who can't get on Facebook during the day, we even have a LinkedIn group called Launch Talk.
Nice. Please send me the link, and I'm happy to share that. I'm on LinkedIn as well, so let's connect.
Okay.
And I want to share, because I think that what you're doing is awesome. But I'm sure I've already told you that when I called to my listeners, ladies and gentlemen, when I was looking at all the stuff that she was posting and how encouraging she is to people like us, I had to have her on the show. And I called her last week, and she got to me, and she was already booked today. I love the story. She was already booked for other shows today, but when I said, oh, I wanted to do this for Women's History Month, she made room. She was like, oh, no, don't say that, because now I have to do it. So I really want you guys to know what an awesome person Ty is, and that she made time to come on and talk to you guys about how you can really make this happen for yourself. So please, please go over and support her Facebook page. I have placed the link into the event. I will place it on my Facebook page as well. I will, when she sends it to me, I will also send you the LinkedIn group to follow. Visit her page, her website, launchwhileworking.com, www.launchwhileworking.com. And she has her own radio show, Tribers. So if you can, you know, take a listen to what she is talking about on her shows, I'm certain that it will help and really support someone and some of you in what you're doing. I think you said we could find you on Twitter as well. Can we find you on Twitter?
Absolutely. I'm on Twitter. You can follow me directly at Ty Goodwin. And you can also follow Launch Talk, the radio show, so that you can stay up to date on the latest shows that are coming up.
I love it. Okay. So, Ty, it was wonderful to have you. I cannot wait to be on your show. I have to fill out that thing for you and send it in so we can go ahead and set that up. You know, I know when I said that I forgot to eat for 2 weeks, you were like, oh, okay.
I want you to take care of yourself. We need you, and we need your lovely, lovely magazine. I love those images. And, you know, thank you so much for inviting me to speak on your show and to speak to your guests. I truly appreciate it. And, you know, I look forward to you know, help and promote whatever you have going on in the future as well.
I want you to write, like, I want you to be a guest blogger, but we'll talk about that, because I'll start saying stuff on the air, and you might be like, no, she didn't, without even talking to me first. So we're definitely going to talk, because I love, you know, I love what you're doing. I love the encouragement that you're giving all of these people, and I want us to be partnered. I don't know what I'm going to be able to offer, because I'm good at numbers, but I don't want to do it. So... work something out at some point.
We certainly will.
Yay. Ty, once again, thank you for coming. Tribers, again, please stop by and support all, you know, her pages, support her on Twitter, support her radio show. And of course, you know, it's Wednesday. I will see you again next Wedding Wednesday on Tribal Wisdom. We are Bridal Tribe. We are a company about love, beauty, fun, weddings, and marriage. So please, stay devoted to love. We love you. Talk to you next time.